Hey, Movaniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 268. We're recording this on July 24th, 2022. I'm Tim, still with me from moments ago of recording episode 267 is Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hi, I managed to make it back.
You did. You didn't get lost. I had some concerns.
It was close.
Yeah. That's why I kind of tied a bell around you so I could find you.
And it's good. It takes mere moments to lose me. So the fact that there was about a 30-second, probably more like a 20-second transition from one episode to the other was the saving grace there.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. So for folks who aren't familiar, for some reason you started with this episode. I'm not sure why you would. This is part two of our San Diego Comic-Con review 2022. In part one, we talked about animation. We talked about phase four. And so Kevin Feige set us up for phase five and phase six. And so we're going to talk about those in this episode.
Kevin Feige, quite the trickster, setting aside an hour for the panel, and all of the experts and leakers are like, wait for D23. An hour is not long enough to talk about stuff. We're going to get a little this, a little that, and that's it. And then, he ran long.
Yes.
Very long.
I don't think anyone complained because it's
probably,
I mean, I don't know if anyone was like waiting. I don't know if there was a panel after them. I think it was the last Hall H panel of the day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was, because I think it was scheduled to end at 6 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah. My guess is that, first of all, Marvel Studios probably gets whatever time slot they want.
Yeah.
And so they probably said, Saturday, Hall H, end of the day, no one goes after us. That's it.
Yeah,
done.
Pretty much. Why would you want to go after them? Can you imagine having your big project you spent your whole life working toward and then having it in Hall H after the announcement of basically two waves going into the big multiverse war? I mean, no.
Exactly.
I would cry. I would just stay home. It wouldn't be worth the money.
Oh, I agree.
Release your project on YouTube. Stay home. You're done.
Let's see. Hasbro Pulse just put out some new figures for Wakanda Forever.
Oh. Well, they missed us by about 17 minutes because.
Yeah, we can't talk about them now.
We can't talk about
it. That's it. We can't.
Already did.
But yeah, no, there's some good stuff. We did. You know what we didn't talk about from the Black Panther teaser?
What's that?
For Wakanda Forever? Was at the very end of it, we saw another Black Panther.
Well, yeah. It is Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
Which we kind of knew, obviously, there's going to be some, you know, we talked about passing of the torch. Right. So we knew that there would be something. And I don't want to get here and now into speculation of who it might be, but I just realized that we forgot that.
That is true. We will let the audience speculate as to who that would be, as it's been basically narrowed down to one of two characters.
Pretty much.
But
let's see. All right. So phase five.
Yes.
We didn't know starting when phase five would start. We didn't know what was going to be in it. Phase five will officially be kicking off on February 17th, 2023 with Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania.
Basically, any project you've heard of that hasn't been released yet other than She-Hulk and Wakanda Forever is going to be after phase four. That's it. We are at the end of phase four. Everything else new is phase five.
Yeah. So I guess to kind of contextualize what we got here, because kind of from this point forward, from the panel, it's the vast majority of this stuff is confirmations of stuff we already knew.
A lot of it was heavily rumored leaks.
Yeah. There's a few updates to things that we knew or kind of knew. So updates in terms of dates, we actually have a change in title of something. And then we have some stuff that is brand spanking new.
We have more data this time around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On things we already knew about. So we have specific release dates. We have some general release dates before for things that we had no idea when in general we might be seeing them. We're getting quantities of episodes for things, including one I'm really excited about. And and title updates and changes. So, again, I don't think there was anything really brand new that had not already been kind of on the radar. But we got a ton of clarification.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So we have across phase five right now, as things stand, and there are still a couple of gaps, 12 movies and shows for phase five. Kicks off with Quantumania, February 17th, 2023. We did not get a trailer, the public. However, people who attended the panel in Hall H at San Diego Comic-Con did get some measure of a trailer, which confirmed one rumor that Bill Murray will be in the film, which this rumor came about months and months and months ago. And I really appreciate Bill Murray. Great career for everything he's done. Mm-hmm. As a lot of folks know, one of my big issues with Ant-Man, especially the first movie, was that it was kind of too extra. There was like too much comedy that was in it. And like, you know,
it was so good.
There's a dead horse and they just kind of kept beating that horse.
But that was the funniest dead horse I've ever seen beaten ever.
But then to bring Bill Murray in it, like,
that worries me a little bit.
It worried me because I'm like, oh gosh, now you're bringing in one of the most noted comedians ever into something that already has this big potential to go kind of a little too far in comedy. Yeah. And it worries me. But you know, there's also so much big and riding on this movie. This is an Ant-Man movie I'm excited about.
I think that this Ant-Man movie, I mean, this kicks off phase five. This is going to be a big world building film. And apparently they showed a clip there that was Scott Lang. You know, he's written a book. I guess he started a podcast. And he was doing like a book signing or something. And then he comes back out.
Well, he's pretty famous per Ms. Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah. He comes out and there's a scene and I think it's him and the Wasp and they're talking and stuff and something happens. They're messing around with some tech or something. And apparently I need to double check the details of it, but something happens and Kang shows up, has a brief conversation and then basically sucks them into the quantum realm. And then the movie begins. Like it's going to be a big moment, I think, in the multiverse saga. I think this is going to be really what kicks off the direction, because a lot of people have complained about phase four. It's like, oh, we're getting a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's all over the place. Well, we're setting up the players, right? Because we talked in the last episode about the fact that there's a lot of torch passing going on. Well, now that those torches have effectively been passed or at least introduced, and now we have some new players on the field, now we get to figure out what kind of game they're playing and when the game begins and who it is that we're up against and what the gameplay is going to be. Like now, with the beginning of phase five, this is where the story begins for the saga.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
We've had all the foreshadowing.
Exactly. But all the pieces have been placed on the board, and now we're going to see the game actually get played. Right. The other big reveal apparently that came from this, and I'm sure at some point we will have this trailer or this footage brought to us by Marvel Studios. MODOK. We are going to get a live action MODOK.
Yeah.
Listen, which also intrigues me.
I love the first Ant-Man film. I liked the second one. And I'm super excited about this one, but I'm a little worried between what you said about Bill Murray and then MODOK. MODOK has been a character that has just never made any sense to me ever. It was like one of the Marvel writers as, you know, for his kid's birthday present, he said, here, why don't you create a character and I'll put him in one of the comic books. And, you know, his 8-year-old kid came up with whatever MODOK is supposed to be. I've never understood that character. And to have MODOK in live action in the MCU just makes me cringe.
My thought on MODOK, and we talked about this on the show a few months ago. I think we were talking about like the MODOK animated series.
Which also does not help my interest in seeing MODOK here.
But my statement then, and I still hold by it now, and I'm looking forward to seeing what this visual is that they do with it. A live action MODOK could be absolutely freaking terrifying if it's done the right way. And I mean terrifying. Like, not in an ironic way. I mean, this could seriously be like something that you're like, holy crap, this is like, yeah.
Can you elaborate at all?
Just kind of like the almost the grotesqueness of it. Of basically the fundamental deformity that is MODOK, that came from this science experiment, and you know, whatever background they give to MODOK in the MCU, be it he's an alien or it was a science experiment or whatever, just that, and then the powers, the personality of MODOK. I think it could truly be a terrifying thing. I mean, you can venture very, very far away from the tongue-in-cheekness that the Hulu series was, which I actually thought was pretty funny. And I love Patton Oswalt doing the voice work for it and that kind of stuff.
I do like that aspect of it. I just felt the humor was, it missed.
Yeah, a lot of it did. And it was a little drawn out. But do I think that they are going to do I use horrific for lack of a better word. Are they going to do a horrific MODOK? I doubt it. But maybe they will.
I get what you're saying, if
this
be
is
better.
Like Kang transporting them to some other place, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I hope whatever they do with MODOK is impactful.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I hope for. And Bill Murray, back to that. I remember a lot of Bill Murray movies that kind of flew under the radar where he can do subtle.
Yes.
Really, really understated when he needs to. And I think that depending on what they do with him, it doesn't necessarily have to be over the top.
Right.
So I'm willing to wait and see what they do with him. I hope it's not some silly, goofy, over the top sort of thing, because I think it would distract from the film.
Yeah.
And I don't know that would fit here. So,
yeah, I agree,
but I'm looking forward to it. Quantumania. I think that's going to be a good start for Phase 5. I think with the history of the Ant-Man character in the quantum realm and all that, and we're getting into the multiverse, we're getting into Kang. I think, you know, Doctor Strange was a good setup. Spider-Man, I was not expecting would really be a good setup for that sort of thing. And it was, and I think Multiverse of Madness was another good setup. And then this, I think this is the perfect way to jumpstart the access, if you will, to the multiverse.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So the next one in, so this is roughly release order. Even though a lot of these, especially the Disney Plus, shows they're giving us timeframes, they're giving us seasons. Not necessarily dates. So Secret Invasion slated for a spring 2023 release. That is new. We knew Secret Invasion was coming out. We were actually hoping it was going to be later this year. It's going to be spring of next year that it's going to come out. And similarly, the Hall H audience got some footage of this. Kind of just some miscellaneous stuff in terms of some of the commentary that I read about on it. Is there anything that jumped out at you, Eric, from anything that you might've read on this footage?
No, I didn't really see a lot of people commenting too much on it other than, Kobe Smulders was talking about her perspective on the film a little bit and what to expect.
Series.
People talking about, I'm sorry, series. Yes, it is a series, 6 episodes. talking about the series and what to expect, people commented that this version of Nick Fury seems a lot darker than what we had seen of him previously, which probably a good thing.
This is a lot of it. Folks have said that Secret Invasion is going to be a very, very dark tone series because it's I mean, the fundamental is you don't know who is or who isn't.
And that's the other thing that was said.
In this, so
it really has a strong espionage tone.
Yeah. Because you don't know who you can trust.
Exactly.
But which is funny because that really amplifies a quote from the Captain America Winter Soldier film where Nick Fury tells him, you know, don't trust anyone. And
right.
So now it's like that's even more so where, you can't trust the person who's been standing next to you for the last 3 years because you don't know, you know.
Right. But I like that.
I do, too.
You know, we had WandaVision, which is kind of a retro-y exploration. And, you know, Ms. Marvel was kind of the teen angsty thing. And She-Hulk, we've got the sitcom. Mm-hmm. Hawkeye, we had kind of the New York City street level stuff. And now we're getting something that, you know, espionage. That's a cool genre that we haven't really seen explored this way. Even with Black Widow and seeing the kind of the 1980s Cold War spy thriller kind of thing, it's different from this. This is a different tone, kind of a different version of the genre. And we continue to see Marvel explore different avenues like that. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. And I'm interested about the implications of what it's gonna mean because they can't just contain it to this series. I mean, they can, but where is it? You know, who else? You know, might have been a Skrull. You know, it's gonna kind of be interesting. May 5th, 2023, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. We knew that was coming. We knew it was going to be that day. We did get some imagery of the High Evolutionary, which is pretty interesting. And the High Evolutionary is someone who we definitely do have slated for a character profile. So we're going to talk some more about them. The Echo series, which, again, something else we knew was coming. This is going to get a release summer of 2023 along with Loki season 2. So both of them will be summer of 2023, as well as the Marvels. That's releasing on July 28th, 2023. This is the movie with Captain Marvel, Ms. Marvel, Monica Rambeau all together and we don't know a whole heck of a lot else about it at this point, except we can kind of speculate a little bit based on the very end of Ms. Marvel with the appearance of Captain Marvel there, which was kind of unexpected in that manner. So,
yeah, kind of like they both got switched out, which is then making me hope that Captain Marvel wasn't flying through space at the time. Otherwise, she has about 4 minutes to go save Miss Marvel
pretty much
from sudden death. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In my timeline here, Eric, you noted in the show notes that I forgot something. What did I forget?
Well, so you said there are 12 movies and shows for now in phase 5. And on my list, I've got 13.
Oh,
but then I've got two here that you don't have. So we talked about What If in the previous episode, which will be, it just says early 2023 at the moment.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
But we moved into summer now on our time frame. So I assumed that that would have already happened in this list. But the other one is Loki season 2 slated for the summer of 2023.
Yeah, I talked about that with Echo.
Okay, but it wasn't in your list. So, oh, okay, it's on the same. You didn't give it its own bullet point, Tim?
No,
Loki season 2 is not epic and important enough to warrant its own bullet point in the show notes. So, yeah, so I've got, by my count, I've got 13.
I don't know that What If is being counted necessarily as being phase 5 because it's not canonical.
Well, so hold on. I thought that it was being considered te- technically canonical in that it happens in the multiverse.
Could be. Could be.
I could be wrong, but I thought there was some sort of an official statement at one point by the some of the directors of the show that pointed out that, yeah, it counts. It's just not in 616.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think back to season one, there was that question and people said, well, it could. So why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. So Marvel's Ironheart slated to come out fall of 2023. This is another series. We knew it was coming. We just didn't know when.
I know very little about this character, almost nothing other than just like what you've talked about on the show here.
Yeah.
And this will be another 6-episode series. This and Secret Invasion, both 6 episodes.
Yes. Yep. Also, Echo and Loki are expected to be 6 as well. Let's see. Blade has been given a new release date of November 3rd, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
We then
what are your thoughts on this? Are you looking forward to this one? I know you're very much into that side of Marvel that I'm not into, the whole Midnight Suns thing. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I'm really hoping that this is going to kind of open up that door more. I think that, you know, Doctor Strange has kind of opened that door a little bit. But I think this is going to open it up a lot more. And it's kind of one of those things that's missing that, you know, maybe we're not going to see it come to fruition in phases 5 or 6, but maybe phase 7 is going to start off a more supernatural, mystical kind of thing where, you know, we have more Blade and we get Ghost Rider and we have more Moon Knight because,
yeah,
similarly, Moon Knight is something I'm not seeing anywhere here in phases 5 and 6.
Yeah. Roster.
Yeah. Not on this so far. And it's a noted gap. Yeah. You know, we had the first season, hoping there's going to be a second season. Yes, I fully expect that Moon Knight will end up in some ensemble thing, but I'm hoping that they have something else before the ensemble thing, because I think they need to, it's like now the character is kind of just getting his legs and now they really have to do something and explore that character and, you know, yeah, the whole Jake Lockley thing and all that.
I was
going
to say there was the tease at the end. They kind of have to do, they've obligated themselves to do something about, but I'm guessing we won't see it until either like the Dark Avengers or Midnight Suns or something.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of Mahershala Ali. Mm-hmm. So I've been following him on and off ever since my first experience with him was in the 4400. He is an incredible actor.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. And I think that alone makes me interested in Blade.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be good. I'm hoping that if they take, and I liked the original Blade movie, the sequels kind of, they went down fast, but the original one I thought was actually pretty good. It was reasonably well done for the time that it was done. Without like this, you know, there was no MCU construct. It was just, hey, we're going to do a movie.
Right.
And taken in that context, I think it was, I thought it was pretty good. But now within the context of the MCU, within the context of future storyline, and the interrelation between different characters and building something that is much bigger and being part of something that's much bigger and new effects and that kind of stuff. I think that this movie has so much potential and they could just, you know, truly knock it out of the park. So I'm looking forward to it quite a bit.
I don't know. The last Marvel related movie with vampires did not impress me.
What was that?
Morbius. Yeah.
Well,
see, you didn't even, it was so memorable, Tim. You didn't even know what I was talking about.
But that's also Sony. That's also true. Sony. It's not very part true of the MCU.
Very, very and true. That Sony, makes a difference.
Yeah.
Sony needs help.
Yeah. Sony does need help. So let's see. This is where we have a change in title, actually. So what has been referred to as Agatha House of Harkness is now going to be Agatha Coven of Chaos.
As long as they keep that alliteration going, Multiverse of Madness, House of Harkness, Coven of Chaos.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely appreciate that. That's going to come out late 23 or early 24. So they're basically categorizing it somewhere as the winter of 23, 24. We don't know where that's going to fall yet.
Probably Christmas. They don't have a Christmas theatrical release that year. And
no.
Blade will have been early November, so that'll carry mm-hmm. them through the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm guessing it could start late December, kind of like what they did with Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah. So this next one is one of the biggest new items, and it's something that was largely expected, but still this was new. This was the official announcement of it. And that is the start of a Daredevil series. So it's going to be called Daredevil Born Again, which is interesting. It's the name means a lot because one, it's kind of a, you know, the character is being reborn in the MCU. You also have Matt Murdock as a very religious person. So Born Again has that bit of a connotation to it. It's kind of interesting. This is going to release spring of 2024. Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio are returning. No big surprise after we saw Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin in Hawkeye, and we saw mm-hmm. Charlie Cox's Matt Murdock in the last Spider-Man movie.
But not everybody's returning, right? So
we don't know.
The other characters I heard that
we don't know that Foggy's coming back. There's been a lot of rumor of Jessica Jones, a lot of rumor. So I kind of expect that we might see Jessica Jones back.
Yeah, I think the headliners probably, but I heard like Foggy and the others that they're expecting
not to. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that the expectation is that the fans are like, they're also not going back and giving a lot of backstory to link the old Netflix produced series with the new. They're kind of just allowing people to accept that, well, maybe that was a multiversey thing and this is close to it, but we're moving on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which I'm okay with.
Yeah. I think it's actually a really smart way to go. You know, this whole multiverse thing has really helped Marvel. It gives them a lot of creative flexibility because they can now do things like that. Oh, the Netflix thing that was in this other side universe, multiverse. This is kind of like the main one now. Pay attention to this one.
Exactly. Yeah. It totally works for me. I'm very much down with it.
But the big news about this one, Tim, what is it? The exciting part.
18 episodes.
I am so happy. I'm so happy. I'm loving this.
I mean, holy crap. 18
this is incredible.
Episodes. Of course, we don't know how long they're going to be, but I would imagine 30 to 40 minute episodes. So
probably
this is like a trilogy of movies. I mean, this is nuts. This is crazy.
I am so happy. I hope that this is wildly successful so that maybe they see this as a reason to start doing more shows in this format. And it doesn't have to be all shows, but some shows. I don't need everything to be more than six episodes, but some things would be nice. And I am super excited about this.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next thing we got, we knew there was going to be another Captain America film. So we got that announcement, Captain America New World Order. That's going to release May 3rd of 2024. And then the other thing that we knew was coming is a Thunderbolts movie, and that's going to be releasing July 26th of 2024.
And that's it. That's phase five, as has been announced in this particular
panel. As far as we know right now. So then phase six, which is the final third of the multiverse saga. They gave us right now. We only have three movies, but boy, they're kind of a big three movies. It's going to start off November 8th, 2024 with Fantastic Four. It's going to continue on with Avengers, the Kang Dynasty, May 2nd, 2025. And I don't know that it's going to close with Avengers Secret Wars, or if this is just simply another movie that's in there. But boy, it would be a big closing if it were Secret Wars. And I know last episode you were on, you talked about Secret Wars, and it's there's so much potential. November 7th, 2025. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more in phase six. This is just simply all they gave us. But when they did display the timeline in Hall H during the panel, there were a lot of seasons and years, you know, spring of 2025, winter of 2025, that kind of stuff that were very specifically noted in the timeline, just simply without titles.
They were empty.
Yes, they were empty.
Mean.
So it was.
Kevin Feige's cruel.
So I do expect that we will be getting some Disney Plus items in those time frames, as well as probably some additional movies as well. There was an interview separate from the panel, but conducted at San Diego Comic-Con. Kevin Feige did confirm that the Russo brothers are not slated to be involved in either of these Avengers films. A lot of people have been asking, obviously, the Russo brothers, just wildly famous for everything that they've accomplished.
By the way, in the Marvel Universe. Shout out for The Gray Man.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic movie.
That the Russo brothers just did.
Yes.
I just
highly recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
do we want to go into the what's missing? Is there any commentary that you have before that, Eric, on phases 5 and 6?
I do a little bit. So, I mean, phase 5, we kind of commented as we went along. I think it looks pretty exciting. There are some things I'm a little bit more excited for than others. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with Guardians of the Galaxy 3. The storyline with the High Evolutionary, we've got, did you mention what we saw in the clips from that? Well, we didn't see what the panel.
We didn't see. We know that we're going to get Adam Warlock. They've only referred to him as Adam. So we know we're going to get Adam Warlock. We know we're going to get High Evolutionary.
And who's leading the Ravagers?
That I don't know.
Oh, would you like to know? I mean, it's not really a spoiler, right? Because it was right there in the clip.
Yeah.
Gamora.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Definitely.
I like that. I like that. I am interested to see where the whole Gamora story arc goes, because they obviously severely messed with that at the end of Infinity War. So Endgame, rather. So, yeah. Yeah, that's I'm interested to see what they do with that.
And apparently it's the angrier version of Gamora that is shown. At least that's the implication from the footage. So,
yeah,
I'm really anything that ties into the upcoming Secret Wars or the Kang Dynasty thing, I'm excited for. And there are certain things that look more likely to cross into that than others. I hate to say it, but specifically probably the more cosmic things, the Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Quantumania. I don't know. Maybe they'll tie Agatha in there somehow. We get some of the magic stuff going on. And then there's some things that are less likely to. I don't think Echo is necessarily going to tie heavily into it. Captain America, New World Order might.
I think that there's going to be some stuff going on that isn't necessarily like really heavy on the multiverse. So I think Echo and Daredevil, you know, and they're going to be related. We expect, you know, to see the actors in either series. I think they're just going to kind of do their own thing. I don't know that they're necessarily going to be part of this multiversal thing, nor do they have to be.
No, they don't need to.
I think it's fine.
Good to have those different genres and stuff. You can have like the real mind trippy stuff going on with the multiverse. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes people just want to see superheroes fighting crime out on the streets.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's important that we're getting both of those. But back to phase 6. We learned in Loki, and this is one of the reasons I'm rewatching it right now, that there were other multiverse versions of Kang, and there was a multiverse war that happened before. And the guy at the end of the Loki series was apparently the last Kang left. And then what's her face killed him. And then everything went to hell. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Kang Dynasty somehow has to deal with the incursions, and then that leads us up to the Secret Wars, which is about the battle world, and whether that be Kang still being around, whether that's Doom, whether that's someone else who's kind of pulling the strings. I don't think we're going to get the Beyonders that we saw in the comics. I think instead Kang is going to fill that role as far as the incursions and all that.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where I think those are going. And like you said, on that timeline graphic, there were some big gaps. And yeah. I think that we do need to talk about that. Most notably, I mean, we are getting the Fantastic Four on November 8th, so that'll be before the two Avengers films, but they did not say anything about mutants.
Mm-hmm.
And they have in the past. It's official that they're coming in some form. And then we saw the little tease at the end of Ms. Marvel kind of reminding us, hey, don't forget about this.
Yeah.
But they're not
an X-Men movie is a very blatant missing piece to these announcements here.
Yeah.
There is something I want to mention about the Kang Dynasty, which is a really interesting title. And when you think of dynasty in terms of like world history, you know, a dynasty is family, successive family members who have, you know, ruled or have had some kind of power and influence. And the character of Kang in the comics has had exactly that. There have been numerous versions of Kang that we have seen in the comics. And when we did the character profile of Kang, we mentioned some of this, but you know, in the comics, there is even also a young Avenger, fundamentally Iron Lad, who is a version of Kang. You had Kang himself, you had Immortus, which was another version of Kang. And apparently, Dr. Doom is a relation of Kang.
That I did not know.
So to call this the Kang Dynasty, I mean, now it kind of, the first thing that I thought when they mentioned that is we're going to have multiple Kangs, multiple generations of Kangs, because that's what dynasty means to me. So I don't know. I'm not sure what to think about that movie and where it's going to go. But we very well could get us an awful lot of Kang.
Throughout the multiverse, or are we talking about different iterations through time, or are we talking both?
And also a very good question. I mean, as far as we know.
That's another thing. So the Quantumania clip, there was some comment that Kang makes to Scott Lang about time not working the way Scott thinks it does,
mm-hmm.
just before he sucks them in.
So we have some interesting concepts that exist in the MCU, which can be related depending on how they deal with them. We have the multiverse, and then we also have different timelines. And these are not the same thing, although what we have seen through the quantum realm is that that's where they can be connected. And I think that that's what we're going to see in Quantumania, because we know that Kang is a time traveler, but Kang may also now, if he has access to the quantum realm, he then can jump multiverses. So that's where we're going to see more of this multiversal aspect along with timelines coming into play, because we needed things to get more confusing. So, so let's see. Okay. So what else is missing here? First of all, Armor Wars. Armor Wars is a series we know we have coming up. It has previously been slated to be 2023. We've not heard anything of it as of recent. We definitely did not see it in the Phase 5 announcement, so don't know. I'm sure it's still out there. Maybe they don't know exactly where they're going to put it. Not sure. I don't know.
Maybe we'll get I kind of get the feeling that it wasn't so far out as to be like a new announcement, and it's not so close that they have footage ready to show or talk about. And so it's kind of in between maybe. And so,
yeah,
we might get a closer look at that at D23.
Yeah.
Like maybe some actual footage or something, because it's not too far down the road.
Right. And with Ironheart releasing fall of 2023, I'm thinking Armor Wars is probably going to be after Ironheart.
You think Ironheart will come first?
I think so, especially just simply given the pace of what they have going on. And I also know that there's been some pre-production on Ironheart where I don't believe there has been any at all on Armor Wars. Oh. So
I thought there had been. I might have gotten them mixed up.
And I could be wrong, and maybe there, yeah, maybe there already is. I mean, you all these projects are obviously some state of pre-production, but depending
COVID
on...
COVID messed so much of that up.
It did. It really did.
Yeah, it's gotten hard to keep track of.
And you know, Armor Wars, like 2 years ago on Guardians, I talked about the Armor Wars comic series, which I really liked. And I also mentioned when I talked about it that there is no way, shape or form that we should expect the Armor Wars series to be anything whatsoever like the comic book series. Because they've already, I mean, you know, Iron Man is dead. They've certain things and characters either don't exist or have been blown up or whatever. We're going to have Ironheart, which would just make sense to put her into this series, even though she never existed in the comic book series. So, yeah, there's a lot of, it's going to be very, very different.
Yeah.
Now Disney also does publish like 2 to 3 years ahead. They do, publish their cinematic releases, their cinematic release schedule. And they'll identify in there a lot of times, obviously, in the upcoming year, they will have names associated to them or titles. And they do this across the Star Wars properties, the Marvel properties, the other miscellaneous things. There is one of these tagged to be February 16th, 2024, which is not mentioned in here. Now, that would put it in the phase five part of the timeline.
So what do we know we have coming? We know we have some sort of a mutant project. We know we have Deadpool 3.
Yep.
We know we have a Shang-Chi sequel.
Yep.
So those are definite announced projects.
Yeah. We expect that we will have an Eternal sequel. Separate but related, we did have an introduction, a soft introduction to the character of Black Knight in the first Eternals movie.
So he's going to appear in Blade.
Yes, he is going to appear in Blade. Is he going to get his own movie? Don't know.
I'm guessing probably not. I mean, he's not. I don't know. Marvel's pulled off some.
We've been surprised
before.
Yeah, we've been surprised.
That's fair.
There is also, we've talked so much about it and there's been so much speculation about a Young Avengers or Champions or whatever
okay.
they want to call it.
And in my notes,
that is not appearing here, at least overtly.
In my notes, and mm-hmm. I have to, now that you mention it, now that we have different notes on this, I'm going to have to go back and do some more hunting, but I have that New Avengers Rise was dropped yesterday and that it's coming in 2025. We don't have a date, but
really
there's a February 14th date open for phase six. And there's a July 25th date open for phase six. Now the information I got could be wrong. Again, they were not streaming the panel. So a lot of this is relying on, you know, other sources, people who attended, reports that have come out, and almost everybody's reporting the same stuff. So this is like 99.9% definitive for almost everything we're talking about. And I'm pointing out that this could be an exception, but I have the title New Avengers Rise and a nebulous 2025 date.
So what I'm seeing, and this is some stuff that goes back, I'm just kind of scouring Google, mm-hmm. Going back to like April and May of this year, it seems that there were some folks who put out some speculation of Avengers 5, either the Rise of Kang or Kang Wars, something like that. So I don't know.
Well, and we got close with that with May 2nd for the Kang Dynasty.
Yeah.
They were close.
But yeah, I'm not seeing any other type of.
I will
of
do
Avengers
some investigating.
Movie. Yeah.
And I'll
do.
See if I can hunt down because I'm
also
I know
seeing
it
Avengers 5 Rise of Doom.
So it was either Den of Nerds or New Rock Stars I think that that mm-hmm. would have been mentioned in. So I need to go back and watch their coverage. Unfortunately, okay. they did. It might have been Everything Awesome, but I don't think it was them. They did like a 2 hour
yeah.
watch along that I don't want to have to go back and redo, but yeah. I might anyway for some other notes. But I could have sworn that New Avengers was not discussed, but that it was briefly mentioned at some point. It's coming in 2025. Okay. I could be very wrong on that. But you're right. We don't really know anything about what the next Avengers team is or when that's slated. But we were expecting some sort of Young Avengers thing with the new Hawkeye and the new Ironheart and the new generation, if you will, of heroes.
Yeah. And maybe they won't. Maybe they're just simply going to bring together, you know, the youngins, as it were, with some of the older characters to form the new Avengers team that we will see in the Kang Dynasty and in Secret Wars.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I think that would be a cool dynamic also, and probably would also be a little bit more popular. You know, I think. For the same reason that like a lot of people were reluctant to watch Ms. Marvel, that like, I don't want to watch a teenager thing. So if they're going to do a Young Avengers thing, I think that they're going to see viewership drop, even though it might get like insanely high ratings like Ms. Marvel did. Mm-hmm. But I think viewership might not be that high because you're going to have a lot of people. I don't want to see a teenager thing.
Well, if they can somehow get it directly tied in with Kang and Secret Wars, then
people be compelled
have a choice.
Yeah. People be very compelled.
That'll be another big thing. So, something else that we didn't hear anything about was Midnight Suns. And I know that there are some people speculating, well, maybe they just meant the upcoming video game. Maybe there is no Midnight Suns, video content coming.
Could be.
So we're still in a gray area on that, but they've set up enough. They've talked about bringing Ghost Rider back. There's enough between
extensively
Blade and Moon Knight and stuff like that. I'm convinced. And like you said, Black Knight. Now I'm convinced that there's going to be some sort of a Midnight Suns project coming. And I think it's going to be in one of those slots that we didn't see yet for Phase 6.
And if it's not Norman Reedus or Keanu Reeves, I think the world's going to be hugely disappointed. So,
yeah, probably. I want to know who they're going to cast as Wolverine.
Yeah. That's I heard also recently, is a big question mark.
Someone that I think might. So there's a report that someone is about to be announced.
Yes.
And that this person, I'm convinced, would probably be a good fit. I don't want to say anything here because I don't even remember the name of the person. But
So there are two more dates in terms of movie dates that Disney has slated that we don't see in here. These are both Phase 6 ones. And obviously, we know Phase 6 needs to be filled out more. But that's January 14th, 25 and July 25th, 25. The only other thing that jumps out at me. And so I'm going to kind of still keep this in the realm of rumor. Is Nomad. Nomad being the.
It's going to be a hard sell, I think.
The Steve Rogers alter ego when he was no longer Captain America.
Well, and then Bucky picked it up for a while, too. He had his own comic book series.
Right. And Bucky did pick it up for a while. So here's the thing on Nomad. First of all, a Nomad rumor goes back several months. There have also been some newer rumors about Nomad. Have heard some stuff indirectly from the film industry on Nomad. And apparently last week, Marvel Studios filed a trademark filing in the UK for Nomad.
That to me seems like inherently it would be better for a series than a film.
That could also work. I agree. Now, there's also two different time frames being discussed. And I lean personally more toward one than the other. One of them is the time frame between Civil War and Infinity War. When basically Cap was persona non grata. He was kind of on the run. because he, you know, didn't sign on to the Sokovia Accords, and he and Tony had this big rift, and basically the Avengers disbanded. That's the one that I'm kind of more leaning toward, because we know that he was out and about doing stuff. And there's a period there of I think a couple of years that are not accounted for. So I think that there's some good opportunity there where maybe he said, well, look, America doesn't want me, so I'm not going to be Captain America.
So the story would fit.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, from a business decision, you've got Kang Dynasty, Secret Wars, and then two other film slots, and you're going to take one of those to go back in time to cover a period of Captain America being off the grid. It seems like a questionable business decision. I'm not saying a bad one. I'm saying it raises some questions to me.
If Chris Evans comes back, it will sell tickets.
But it will also feel like a distraction from what else is going on. Like, everything's building to the crescendo, and you don't, in the last phase, you know, getting near the end of the book.
Yeah.
You don't take a detour for a flashback.
Right. And but it also does kind of hearken a little bit to the, well, they're going to do Echo and Daredevil, which probably aren't related to the multiverse. And they're still going to be wildly popular, especially Daredevil. And that's probably okay. So, but yes, I completely get what you're saying there.
What's your second idea?
The other storyline opportunity that's been rumored is basically, what does Steve Rogers do after he has returned all the Infinity Stones and he's hanging out with Peggy Carter? Probably doesn't want to take the mantle of Captain America, since Captain America already existed. And granted, for a long period of time while he would be existing in that timeline, Captain America was on ice. But he probably didn't want to confuse things. So maybe he decided, well, gosh, I can't not be a superhero. So I'm going to go be somebody else and take on a different moniker, and he becomes Nomad. But that doesn't align with him having a relationship with Peggy. So that's where I am. Like, the existence of Peggy and him having the relationship with Peggy immediately diverted me from that idea. Like the intervening years between Civil War and Infinity War.
I think that those would be fascinating stories. I like that idea. I don't think they're going to do it. I think that they will take this as an opportunity to do what they did in the comics in the 90s, which was to kind of take the Bucky character and reboot him, and to have him kind of go out and find himself.
Yeah.
Nomad wasn't just the character's name. It was almost representative of him going up, out on this walkabout. And
he was basically Bruce Banner from the Hulk TV series, for folks who might remember that.
Now that you mention it,
he did was basically roam around the country, finding trouble, turning into Hulk, smashing everything. And because he then damaged every relationship that he formed and while he was in that spot, wandered off to someplace else. So,
it was like a cross between the 70s Hulk show and Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze.
Yes.
Just kind of wandering from bar to bar, picking fights and, and a one man A-team, if you will.
And that could work very well also. And I like that storyline a lot. I think it'll disappoint some people if anyone who is like tuned into this rumor who really wants Chris Evans to come back. And I think it would be great for Chris Evans to come back. But Chris Evans is also, he's moved on. I think he's done with Marvel. He's doing other movies.
Yeah. And doing well with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of the gray man,
I thought he was awesome in the gray man.
It's a lot for Marvel to bank on that too. We know they're doing contracts on a one by one basis. Now they're not doing big chunks of contracts anymore. I think that it would be wildly optimistic of them to, I don't know. I would not bet on it being Chris Evans. I think there's actually an in-universe opportunity for them to redefine Bucky, because the character kind of does not want to be known as the Winter Soldier anymore.
Right. Right.
He kind of wants to get away from that. So what do you do? Well, in the comics, he had another role, and that was Nomad. So it kind of makes sense. I would.
He's also been called the White Wolf, and I really would love to see that moniker stick, but it seems that, like, okay, it was mentioned once. And then it was mentioned once in a movie. It was then mentioned again in Falcon and Winter Soldier. And that was
it. It's never stuck. Nobody ever mentioned it outside of, like, you don't hear people at the water cooler talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other things we didn't talk about, we mentioned Wonder Man between this and the last episode, but that was not anywhere on any of the slate.
Correct.
And neither was the, apparent Nova series. Was that ever, that was official at one point, wasn't it?
I don't know that was.
I don't recall. Maybe it wasn't.
I don't think that even reached the level of like a Variety or Entertainment Weekly release. I think that's just kind of been something milling about. There is also supposed to be a Wakanda series on Disney Plus, and that's not been mentioned either. But that was one of those things that was, I believe, reasonably confirmed, but just never given any other context or information. So now keep in mind, and you mentioned this in the last episode, Eric, that we do have D23 coming up.
Right.
And we expect that Lucasfilm and Marvel Studios will have a presence at D23. In fact, we didn't even expect Marvel Studios to have a presence at San Diego Comic-Con. Like, they were a late addition just before the agenda came out that it was like, oh my God, Marvel Studios is going to be at San Diego Comic-Con. Right. Like, it was not assumed, because D23 is next month, August, September.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's coming up soon.
So, you know, and it's the awkwardness of this, because Disney wants to have their own kind of full on thing.
They want their event to be the most important one, and it's not, and it bugs them.
It does.
They're trying really hard.
It really does. But the thing is that for them to do it, they would have to fundamentally do away with Star Wars Celebration. They would have to do away with any of their studios having any major appearances in these other cons like San Diego Comic-Con, Emerald City, New York City, that kind of stuff.
Right.
They wouldn't be able to really do these. So this was a lot of news that we got. I still expect Marvel Studios will do something at D23, but what we're going to get, I don't know. I mean, okay, they'll give us a trailer for something else that's coming up, but will we see news on Armor Wars, on any of this other stuff? I don't know.
Well, I know people are predicting that we are going to see something Deadpool related, and that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's an expectation we will see a little bit more about Ant-Man.
Okay.
And I mean, the Secret Invasion, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 would be close enough to there that they could have footage available for those. But I think a lot of people were thinking that was going to be where they start talking more about the Fantastic Four, which was mentioned here only on a slide with a date.
Right.
But otherwise not spoken. Like, that was it. So a lot of people are thinking it's going to be the big announcement about the Fantastic Four and the mutants.
Which would be good. And there's a lot of opportunity for that.
We really don't know what their plan for either of those is. You know, everybody's still expecting to hear an official casting announcement about Krasinski.
Mm-hmm.
Which we have not yet gotten. And we have been waiting for them to do something with mutants for a long time now. They dropped the name of it at one of the previous announcements, and then we haven't heard anything since then.
Yeah.
This would be a really good opportunity for them to make a big deal of that event just simply by talking a little bit about mutants. And if you're going to talk Deadpool, I mean, he kind of fits into that universe pretty well, and there's a rumored upcoming appearance of Wolverine in one of the upcoming pieces of content here.
Hmm.
They're going to need to start talking mutants soon.
There was I can't quote it exactly, but there was apparently in one of the interviews that Feige did after this panel where someone said, like, dude, everyone's waiting for the X-Men. What the heck? Like, when's this going to happen?
Yeah.
And his response was something to the tune of, well, right now we have things for phase six planned out through 2025. I don't want to wait that long. Do you? So right. Presumably X-Men is going to end up somewhere in here.
I'm fully convinced it is. Like you pointed out, there are gaps. Those gaps will be filled with something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of them will be mutants.
And the X-Men also, you know, in like most of the Secret Wars stories, and there's different Secret Wars storylines that have been out in the comics, members of the X-Men were very prominent participants in the Secret Wars.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to kind of see something before then. Although, boy, that really throws them into the fray, like big time. But
yeah, you know,
they would have to map that story really well.
Well, they've always been pretty good and continue to do so about every new project. They introduce another character for another project. We got some teases of Daredevil and Echo and Kingpin throughout Spider-Man and Hawkeye.
Yep.
The upcoming Wakanda Forever, we're going to get a tease for Ironheart. They always throw in a little bit that they're going to work on later. Even Ms. Marvel, we got a reference, a tie-in for the Marvels film, but we also got a mention of mutants. And I would argue that's probably the least perfect example of what we've seen of them. Like, I think they did less in that than they have in anything else. They've always had something where they're introducing new things. And I think that we are going to see mutants get scattered in here and there.
Yeah.
There are people expecting a Storm appearance in Wakanda Forever. I don't think it's going to happen, but people are expecting it. There's also rumors of Doom appearing very, very soon. And I won't say anything more than that, but that's another character I think that they need to start introducing now if he's going to be a big player later, because you don't want to drop him in and then have him steamroll everybody.
Yeah,
he will, because he's Doom. You need to kind of insert him here and there gradually. But I think we are going to start seeing some mutants here and there trickle in. And then by the time we hit the mutants film, we will have already had exposure to some of them.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, we look at things that we have here, and like we don't, like we, like you said, they introduce characters that end up getting used later. So like, okay, the Marvels, who's the antagonist going to be for the Marvels? We don't really know.
Right.
Captain America, New World Order, who's that antagonist going to be? We don't know. The Thunderbolts. Well, the Thunderbolts are already kind of like anti-heroes anyway, but
they're their own antagonists.
Right. But who are they going to be facing? And so like each of these is going to reveal someone, and hopefully Marvel doesn't do the thing, which they've done a little too often, of killing off their villains right away. You know, let villains grow. And I would look, folks who have listened to this podcast know I freaking love Dr. Doom. I think it is a character with so much depth, so much potential, who has been screwed time and time again in every film iteration that they've ever given him.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they bring him in for the Fantastic Four and then they kill him in that movie?
All right, folks, that's all the time we have here on Guardians. I mean, God, like, I hope they do. And I don't think that they will, because he is one of those villains. I mean, he is a kind of a Thanos level villain that
he can get
a lot of mileage out of.
The entire Marvel universe. He's not just restricted to one little corner of Marvel.
And he uses tech. He uses science. He uses magic. I mean, bring it on. He can take on everyone.
Yeah. He is what Lex Luthor and Darkseid are to DC. It's not a perfect analogy, but for the most part, Dr. Doom is just, he's got his hands in everything.
Yeah. And there has been, of course, with the Fantastic Four announcement, Social media has been going rampant again with fan casting, and I claim no ownership to the idea because I know a lot of other people have had the idea, but there are others who are taking off with the thought of making a Victoria Von Doom, which I'm a huge fan of. I see zero reason to not change the gender, and I think that they could make an even better character by doing it. Because basically we don't need another white guy. And yes, I get the whole, you know, origins from an Eastern European country. I get right. the whole infatuation with Sue Storm. Well, first of all, the infatuation with Sue Storm can still exist. If it's a female character, or you just flip it and make it an infatuation with Reed, if you even have to have that. And that's not a story element that's like hugely critical either. The Eastern European thing, it's not like there aren't people of other races that live in Eastern Europe.
True.
So
here's my issue with the Victoria Von Doom thing. When it comes to inclusion in general, I like to see it when it feels like the world is just supposed to be that way, instead of seeing it and it feel like some producer felt they had to check an item off a checklist.
Oh, totally.
Because then it feels token and it feels fake.
Right.
And a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times when they gender swap characters, it feels that way. And then yes. there are some times where it's done well. So, for example, Battlestar Galactica, the Starbuck character, worked out flawlessly. And from the beginning, I never had an issue with them swapping that. Mm-hmm. And I think it fit and it flowed and it worked out well. I think, though, that especially with Marvel, we have a lot of female characters that exist that don't get the screen time that they deserve, whether we've seen them before or some we have never yet seen on screen.
Sure.
And I don't know that swapping the gender is always the right case. Like, let's just bring in some fresh blood that is representative. Like Doom, I guess to me, Doom has been around so long that there's already an identity wrapped up around that character that's so strong.
Sure.
That
sure.
Let the Doom that we've known be Doom. And then but you do have the multiverse thing, and I get it. But then other characters, like with T'Challa, we're not recasting T'Challa. Shuri right. is one of the potential candidates to take up the Black Panther moniker. Mm-hmm. And I think that she's the ultimate choice. I think she's a good choice, but she's also her own character.
Yes.
They're not gender swapping someone. Right. Now we get to see her and her power and her identity and her agency in the story step in and do amazing things. So yeah. I don't know. I get what you're saying, and I'm not against it, but I don't feel a need for it. I guess I'm kind of on the fence.
To me, it's a great opportunity where, you know, obviously comic book characters have obviously been dominated by white guys. And, you know, yes, there has been some diversity, but not a lot. And I think that, you know, well, obviously not every character should be changed. And I do agree that there are fundamentals of certain characters that are grounded in whatever identity factors, whether it is their age or their gender or whatever the case may be, their race, et cetera. For Dr. Doom, it just seems to be so less of an issue for me. It seems that there could be a really great opportunity that, you know, you could, the relationship stuff, keep it, change it, whatever. But fundamentally, the relationship thing doesn't matter. And I think that they over-treaded on that relationship issue in the movies, in the Fantastic Four movies that they have put out, that it just became too much. I'm done with it. Let's move on.
Well, and I think they over-treaded with it in the comics back in the 50s and 60s. Yes. And back then, too. I mean, that's where it came from. And I think it was over-treaded back then, too, yes. because it was – and it was that stereotype of one man trying to steal another man's woman, which yeah. we've very much moved on from since yeah. then, too. So, yeah, that whole thing can just go away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And – you know, there was a great miniseries for Dr. Doom that was done like 3 years ago that quite honestly didn't even touch that. The only what it really focused on, along with giving a very Doom centered origin story to Doom, the rivalry was between him and Reed in college. And I don't even think Sue appeared in that storyline at all. So it was very much, it was just, and a lot of the more contemporary stories with the Fantastic Four and Doom have centered around this would be, yeah, this would be competition between Reed yeah. and Doom that Reed doesn't give a damn about, but Doom is obsessed with, like, I have to outdo this guy. I have to outdo this guy. If I become the most powerful person in the world and save the world from whatever the most recent cataclysm is, by the way, first of all, I have to do it before Reed does. Second of all, if they love me, then they won't love him. And right. like, that's like his, a lot of his mentality, but that's also the more superficial stuff of Doom. And the character really is just so incredibly deep. And you know, if they do decide to cast the guy and stick with it, all right, that's fine. But I think it's a missed opportunity. I'd really love to see them cast a woman in it and just tweak the story. It doesn't require a wholesale change. It's just a little bit of a tweak.
And I want to be clear. I know this is nowhere near the direction you're going. There are some who are against gender swapping characters when it's the villain because they feel like it promotes misogyny.
Sure.
To villainize sure. the woman.
Yeah.
And I get that. I don't think that's the intention as often as when people bring up the concern, but I totally get why that's a concern
sure.
and why it's something that needs to be looked at. And I, that's clearly not where you're going. I mean, you're talking about the fact that Doom is one of your most respected characters in all of Marvel Comics because of the brilliance of the character and the depth and yeah. just the years and level of scheming and all that. But
there and to the point that you're making, there has also been a lot of commentary similarly toward race. Like right. stop making the bad guy a black guy.
Right.
Because like, wow, now you're just like vilifying
reinforcing
a race.
Stereotypes. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's not good either.
Right. Some people brought that up about Kang, actually.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Yeah. And I don't think in that case that was ever any intention by Marvel.
No, I don't think so at all.
Like it's, I think in that context, it's a lot different from the movies where you're seeing them as, you know, the criminals and stuff that we can relate to as opposed to people controlling entire universes worth of timelines. And,
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
the context is different.
And very similarly, there is a lot of the fan casting for Dr. Doom. Probably one of the most prominent fan casts is Giancarlo Esposito, who plays an amazing bad guy, amazing in everything that he's in. And he's a phenomenal actor.
So good.
One, I think he's too old. That's actually what does it for me is that I think he kind of ages out, and I don't mean to be ageist either, but I think as an actor, I think I would like to see someone younger because.
So you want a younger Doom?
Yeah.
I would be okay with an older of course for me Doom has been around for so long that it fits, but then I'm also okay with the older Reed Richards too, so
true.
And it would make sense for him to be Krasinski's age,
yes,
because they have to cast Krasinski or else I'm boycotting Marvel forever and we'll never watch another piece of content ever again except Deadpool.
They already did cast Krasinski.
Well, no, they have to cast him again. That whole sequence of that
they
movie
have to cast them again.
Happen. How is the most brilliant telepath in the history of the world like just caught off guard by someone like sneaking up behind him in the psychic realm and just like twisting his neck. Like, it doesn't even make sense. The whole Professor X thing, still bitter about what they did to Hayley Atwell. I'm sorry. That whole sequence of the movie triggers me. I've got.
Dude, it's Wanda. She is the most powerful being in the entire the existence.
Realm, Xavier would crush her. And instead, he did about as good a job as I would have done when I was six.
The thing, we're going down a rabbit hole.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. The thing that I think has me appreciate that more, and I probably would have the same perspective that you do on it, had I not, like, I really connect this realization that they all were completely convinced that Strange was the greater nemesis.
Okay, fair.
And but so Xavier, they basically weren't prepared for Wanda, and Wanda shows up and utterly destroys them because they were not ready for her.
I still think, like, if you have to go out to the point where you're saying, hey, Black Bolt can kill you with one word, like, if you're already escalated to that level and you're the smartest man alive, first of all, you should have known that maybe she would be that much of a threat. And second, if Strange is more of a threat, well, he's kind of already back in the other room neutralized, and she's not.
True.
So you've taken out number one on your most wanted list. Now you move on to number two. And so there's that doesn't work for me. The rest of the battle, tragic, but I get it. But Professor X was the one holdout who was back in the room who wanted to let Strange go because he got it.
True. He did. He did.
And she just mopped the floor with him like he was, I don't know, doped up on something. I don't even know what was supposed to be going on in that psychic realm scene. Like, that didn't break the movie for me, but it almost broke that whole act for me.
Really?
The film. And I liked the film.
See, to me, it just simply leveraged
the Illuminati. You just made that whole Illuminati thing so useless because it's so far away from, you know, decades and decades of. Even if you zoom out and look at generally how that sort of thing would work and you don't get wrapped up in the specifics, to me, it just felt like so far off track.
But the Illuminati was never meant to be a fighting force. They're supposed to be, you know,
the
universe's greatest thinkers.
Xavier in the psychic realm.
Yes. And yeah, granted,
he would have you like torn apart molecularly before you could even come up on them. Like, it doesn't happen.
Well, but also look at House of M in the comics. Wanda completely blocks him out. She's like, no, sorry, Charles,
doing something screw to him
you.
In the physical
you're,
world.
You're out. You cannot get into my mind. Like, she does not let him in.
True. But had she, what would have happened?
Don't know.
I do. Just saying.
I do. All right. We are well over an hour here. Folks, thank you very much for joining us. Hopefully we gave you some thoughtful commentary on phases 5 and 6, along with what we didn't see, which maybe we will see hopefully sometime soon. Get some news on D23.
Hope so.
You know, New York City Comic Con. That kind of stuff. So, all right. Yeah, that's it. Eric, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
And folks, I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.